Welcome to the GeoMob Podcast, where we discuss geo-innovation in any and all forms, whether for fun or profit.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the GeoMob Podcast. I am joined today by a repeat guest, Ben Abelshausen, who has been on the podcast before a couple years back as the organizer of State of the Map Europe. And Ben is back, this time in two roles. One as the organizer of GeoMob Belgium. So he's going to give us, or one of the organizers of GeoMob Belgium, he's going to give us the update on how things are going in Belgium. And then we're going to get into Bike Data Project, which is a service that he's been working on. Ben, welcome back to the show.
Hello, Ed. I hope I'm not doing too many things, because when you start naming out these things I've been doing, I'm trying to scale back and do less things but do them better. Let's see if that works out.
Give us a brief update on how GeoMob Belgium is going. I had the pleasure of attending the very first event, which I guess was that 2 years ago now? It was in the summer, so I don't remember if it was 18 months ago or a bit longer, but it's been a while. So it's been going now for a while. So how's it going?
I'm not sure how to measure success for GeoMob Belgium, but I think our biggest thing is that we're still going. And people are still showing up and attending. It has been, rather difficult to keep going, actually. Not because we have a hard time finding our time, but more because we set the ambitious goal of doing a tour to Belgium. And that means that we have to look out for venues again every time. So now maybe we are going to change that up a little bit. Maybe have one time a year in Brussels, and then the other time somewhere on location or something like that. We're not sure what we're going to do with that. But other than that, I think things are going very well. I do want to ask if there's anyone else in Belgium willing to help with this. They're always welcome to do so. But if not, we can just keep going like this. It's fine.
Well, congrats to you. And of course, we should give full credit also to Han, your co-organizer.
Yes.
The one event, the first event that I attended was fantastic. Very good turnout, especially given that was the first event. Very good mood in the crowd. And obviously, lots of very interesting geospatial things happening in Belgium. Not least because you guys have such an active OpenStreetMap community that you're heavily involved in, of course.
Yes, last time in Antwerp was excellent. There were a lot of people from OpenStreetMap as well, but I also like to get out new people that we haven't met before, and each time there are new people showing up. So I'm also really hoping that it will grow. It's also gotten a lot easier finding speakers, so I think we are sort of getting established now.
Well, that's exactly what we hovered. This is what I always tell people when they want to open a new city or country or whatever, is that, you know, you need to commit to doing it two or three times, because the first couple times that, you know, you got to convince people and they're like, what is this? But then once it gets going, the momentum creates its own momentum. And then people see things are happening. People, people volunteer to talk. And I would also encourage any listeners, obviously many of our listeners are in the UK, because that's where we've been going the longest. And obviously it's not very far to Belgium. So it's a very easy train trip. So people should go over and check it out. And
yes,
next time you have an event.
2 hours on the Eurostar.
Yes. And I should also mention, you have actually come to GeoMob London numerous times. You and several other members of the Belgian community came last year.
I used to live in London. That's where I learned about GeoMob.
All right. Okay. Yeah. I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, keep up the good work on GeoMob Belgium, and everyone should check that out and attend to the next event if possible. But today we wanted to talk a bit more about another project that you're involved in, which is Bike Data Project, which people can find at bikedataproject.org. Of course, we will have that linked in the show notes. Ben, what is Bike Data Project? What is this?
Yeah, so I think I best start a little bit with the origin story. So there used to be this, or there is this Swedish filmmaker, Fredrik Gerten or something like that. I'm not sure if I pronounce his name correctly. And he made this movie / documentary about bike versus cars. And part of this release of this movie was that he built a website where cyclists could donate their data. And with data is we mean like their rides, their actual GPX tracks of their rides. And they could push a button on the website, donate their data. And the idea behind it was that cyclists became visible in the data and they became harder to ignore. For everyone, for policymakers, for everyone. So that was a sort of the activist side of the project, and that's how it got started. And then we discovered the project and like a few years back, I think, and then contacted this person and asked him if he could keep it going because it was broken back then, the project, and we asked if he could take over and under certain conditions we were allowed to do that. And then we sort of set up the same infrastructure and tried to continue with this project.
So if I understand correctly, any cyclist can capture their data in whatever way using an app or something, and then they upload that to Bike Data Project, and there it gets aggregated and what's the intended use case then of that data? Who is using it?
Yeah, that's definitely the goal. So to sort of empower cyclists to donate their data, and by empower we mean so one of the problems is that cyclists are not visible in the data space at all. You have a lot of data about cars, car traffic, everything is about cars. It's very difficult to get data about cyclists, about how they move. Where they come from, where they go to. And then you also have all the different types of cyclists, people on their racing bike, on their cargo bike. So many, there's a huge diversity in this crowd of cyclists. And this data is just not available. There is nothing really there. And that is one of the things this project is trying to solve. And then there's also the advocacy side of it. So if cyclists become visible, they can say, look with how many people we are cycling here, please do something for us, that's also
so this is then a tool that traffic planners or city planners or whoever could then use to decide where to allocate resources. Is that the goal?
Yes. Okay. Yes, that's definitely so. So cyclists contribute their data, and then planners can use this data to actually improve their lives. That's more or less.
It's very interesting because over the last couple of years at at GeoMob events in various cities, we've had more and more talks by people about using OpenStreetMap data for city planning, for traffic planning. Of course, your own company, anyways, works on this. But we had in London, we had Dustin Carlino with his AB Streets project. We also recently had a talk in Berlin. Maybe you know this company, Kale.ai. It's also about routing for cyclists, routing for all different types of vehicles. But I don't know if this is the case in Belgium, but in Berlin now we have many, many of these kind of cycle cargo vehicles. For the delivery kind of case, these kind of things, it looks like kind of like a mini truck, but there's a guy at the front pedaling. And this obviously has the advantage that the rider, the vehicle can use the bike lanes. And I feel like there's just been an absolute explosion of this use case and thus also a need for more and more data to build the tools around this, be it routing, be it whatever it is. So maybe you can comment on that a bit.
Yeah. So there are many things happening on the ask side. So there's a lot of ask for use cases. For example, you named the use case of bicycle routing. I am a very enthusiastic race cyclist myself, so I really like to do that a lot. And the crazy thing is, as an open source, open street map oriented person, the route planner I most regularly use is a Strava route planner. Because it's just so incredibly good, because they have all of this data from all of these cyclists and they use it in a very smart way. And it's very difficult to compete with that. As a small company or as an open source project, it's very difficult, maybe even impossible to do, because there is no data like that. It just doesn't exist, or it's very difficult to access. And also, as an open source community or open data minded people, we also don't like collecting that type of data. I think, maybe we should try and work around that a little bit more, because we allow all of these big private companies to collect this data from people, while I think as an open source, open data community, we could do this ourselves and better, in a more ethical way even.
Well, you raise a good point there, man. Obviously, anytime we talk about collecting the data of individuals, we get into the issue of data privacy and protection and stuff like that. So how does Bike Data Project kind of deal with that? Like, how do you, so if I upload my data, it's associated with me, or I can, what happens then? It's anonymized, or?
Well, currently there's only an aggregated version of the data. So we try to base ourselves in the differential privacy idea. So if you remove one user, do you notice it in the data or not? So that's basically I think the core principle behind it. I'm not a real expert. But we do plan to give users in the future more control over this. So, for example, some people wouldn't care. Like, I publish all of my rights publicly. I don't care. But other people, they do care, and we should give them the option, and maybe even go a little bit beyond that we make this even for example, you could say we aggregate data now that you can see where cyclists are going and coming from. We could also go one step further and say only, for example, in street X, there are only this many cyclists, and then you really don't know who that was. You know, there are different levels we can go here now. The Bike Data Project is currently in a state where we need new volunteers, where we need new people joining the project, and we really need more resources, actually. So one of the problems to be worked on is one of these are these issues.
And so who can access this data? So if I upload my data, or then anyone can get it, or how does it?
That's one of the problems we currently have. So the mistake was made in the beginning of not making this very clear to end users. So there was just this loose description of if you donate your data, it can be used. So that's not really clear for the user what they are committing to. So one of the short-term goals is to fix that part. So if you click the share button, you really know what you are sharing your data for. So that's one of the problems. So now the only person that can really access the raw data is me at the moment. But we don't really share the raw data with anyone. I get a lot of questions for this data, but it's just not possible to do it because nobody agreed to sharing it at that level, unfortunately. But we do publish a heat map. You can see that on the Bike Data Project website. And there you can all already see, sort of get an idea of how many people or how busy a certain area is in the view of the Bike Data Project, of course. And there's also a tool where we can sort of see how cyclists behave. So some cyclists pass over a certain link, and you can see where they come from and where they have gone to, without actually revealing their source or actual eventual destination.
I see. And are you also getting like very, very detailed data, like how fast people are going on a certain street or whatever? Or
Yes, at the moment, it's basically whatever people share on their Strava accounts gets uploaded to us.
Okay.
So that's how it worked. Yeah.
And I assume this is this primarily individuals, or is this also like, are you working with courier companies at all, or are there any kind of things like that? Or but in theory, you could, right? In theory, right? You could also have a company that says, okay, we have, I don't know, whatever, 100 vehicles out in the city and we're recording where they are and things like that. So
no, just individuals. And one of the issues we're also trying to solve is the huge bias we have in the data, because if you only use people who track themselves, and usually this is for either commercial purposes, like you said, with all of the delivery vehicles, or you have people who do it for sports, cycling for sports. And those are basically the only use cases, the only types of cyclists contributing at the moment. So we're trying to figure out how to get regular people who just ride their bike to contribute in a very easy way. That's also still work in progress.
Yeah, not just that, but I could imagine, I mean, one use case I see quite a lot is parents, you know, taking small children to school on the cargo bike in the morning, which obviously would be very important from a traffic planning standpoint, is making sure people can get to and from schools. But yeah, there's, to be honest, many of these parents don't really look like hardcore Strava users, you know, if I may say so. So
no, yeah, we have a cargo bike and we do exactly that thing every day. It's exactly the type of use cases or the type of trips I would really like to see showing up in the bike data project. So it's one of the ambitions, definitely.
And how, besides obviously now coming on the podcast here, how are you marketing this? How do cyclists become aware of this project? Or is it more like the cities or whoever's going to use the data kind of advertises it? Is that kind of the plan? Or
good question. I haven't thought that far ahead. The only thing we used to do is try to use social media, but that is not really my my speciality. So maybe this can be a call for help again. If people want to promote the project, if people have ideas about this, sure. I was also planning on trying to see if I would be accepted to talk about this project at a few of the geomobs there are. So do a sort of tour the geomob.
To be clear, Ben, you've been accepted. You can come talk at any event about this. But well, I could imagine one technique. I mean, sometimes I have seen in certain cities, they'll put down, you know, these strips that then measure, you know, when the bike rolls over the strip, it does a counter and stuff. And sometimes you see, I mean, they do this for cars as well, and trying to measure, you know, the frequency of traffic and at the different times of day and stuff like that. And sometimes you also, in certain cities, I've actually even seen, you know, then it goes to a some sort of display so that everyone can see how many bikes, you know, today 2,412 bikes have ridden along here or whatever. This is one thing, actually, I remember reading an article about this. Maybe you can comment on this, that when, you know, often drivers fight the introduction of bike lanes. And then when a bike lane gets put in, if it's working well, you know, bikes are just kind of flowing through and you don't necessarily see a lot of riders. Right. And this can then lead to the accusation of, oh, it's not being used, but it is being used. It's being used very efficiently. Right. So,
when it's empty, the cycle lane, it can be very a sign that it's working very efficiently.
Right. Exactly.
It's also like when I lived in London a few years ago, it was one of the first places ever I was in a real cycling traffic jam.
Right.
It was like the first time I got this. Where you have it, where you wait for a red light and don't actually make it all through the green cycle.
You know? Oh wow! Because there were so many cyclists.
Yeah, that was amazing. I thought, well, why can't that happen in Belgium? But maybe things work differently here, and cyclists can go through certain lights without stopping anyway. But yeah, sure. And I think it's very, very important that cyclists are as visible as well. So that's one of the things about this project. It's really, I think, really important, and also to reflect this in the data. There literally is nothing readily available. If I'm a city planner and I want to have data about mobility and who is using and how people are traveling through the city, there are a few providers you can contact to get all this data for cars, but there's nothing like this for cyclists. Yeah, you have Strava, but as I said, it's hugely biased. So I really think this is a problem that needs fixing.
One thing occurs to me as we're speaking here. I mean, in many large European cities, one new addition to the transport landscape over the last couple of years has been these electric scooters, either people having their own scooter or these rental scooters and things like that. How does that play in at all to this whole project? And are you, I guess you're focused more just on cyclists, because I often see these scooters in the cycle lanes, actually, of course.
Yeah. So, not really focusing on that, but I really don't see a reason why people who have their own scooters could also participate in the bike data project. So there's no reason this shouldn't be possible. What we don't have at the moment is something where users can say what type of bicycle they have. So it's also okay. one of the issues that are still open. So it would be great if people could inside the project say we have a cargo bike, a racing bike, a small kids bike, whatever, and they can add this type of what type of cyclists they are to our database. This could also go a long way towards removing this bias I was talking about, to actually get a real view of all the diverse and all of the different people who are cycling.
Okay, Ben. Well, so you've mentioned several times, obviously, that more resources would be welcome on this project. So what is the best way for people to get involved? How can they? What do you need, and how should they go about doing that?
Well, maybe I should say first that the type of help I cannot use. I don't have the time to hold people's hands to really get them started. Well, a little bit, of course, yes. But if you want to contribute, you are very welcome to do so. But I really need people who are committed to the project as well next to me. And by that, I mean, if you want to build a part of the digital infrastructure, fine, but you also need to commit to maintenance, because it's not the software is not the goal. The project is the goal. So you also need to commit to maintenance of whatever you are building. And the same goes for all of the things that need contributions. You really have to commit to the project, and it has to keep going. Otherwise, it's not going to work. So that's if you want to commit, sure, get in touch. We can talk, but really think about this before you get in touch with me, because it's very important that is what is on your mind before talking to me. I hope that's clear.
Well, fair enough. I know in the GeoMap community, we have many people who are passionate cyclists. And as I said, we've had many talks in the last year or two about, you know, in the general space of kind of traffic planning. So hopefully someone out there listening, you know, is interested. Obviously, it makes so much sense that rather than each city or each region trying to build their own thing, it makes sense to combine efforts and build some kind of centralized service and tool. So I do encourage everyone to check it out and see if they can get involved and where and how it makes sense.
And so also because you mentioned an interesting point there. So there are other projects like this, but usually they are focused on a certain area, or they are run by a certain company or linked to a certain app. I would really like to make this a community project, or maybe even a membership organization or something like that, so it can keep going and people can really, it can really become sort of a digital infrastructure for this use case, and not another silo. So that's also a very important goal, that it doesn't become indeed just one of these other projects, because I think it's very important to think about this now and instead of later. And many of these projects first start thinking about the use cases and the data and not necessarily about the governance. So if there are people interested in working on this, and for example, finding the best jurisdiction to run a project like this, or to incorporate an organization or stuff like that, is also very welcome.
Okay. Well, then, very, very good point, and you're absolutely right. I mean, a lot of times these things evolve in one way, and then afterwards it can be challenging to change it. So definitely encourage anyone out there listening who is interested to have a look and potentially get in touch if they think they can contribute. All right. Well, let's wrap it up there, Ben. I look forward to seeing your presentation at a GeoMob in the future, be it in London, be it in Berlin, be it wherever. And I am hopeful that I can at some point again attend the GeoMob Belgium. But keep up the good work there. Any final words on your side? Anything you want to leave the listeners with?
No, not really. Thank you for giving me this audience. It's very, very, I think, can be very beneficial for the project. And I'll do my best to have a good presentation for maybe even win the best speaker prize. That would be...
Well, there's always stiff competition, but, let's see. Let's see. Do your best. So, see you soon, Ben. Bye.
Sure. Bye.
Thanks for joining us today on the GeoMob podcast. We hope you enjoyed the discussion. You can get the show notes over on the website, which is at thegeomob.com. And while you're there, you can sign up for our monthly newsletter and find links to our accounts on Mastodon and LinkedIn, so that you can stay up to date on all our upcoming events. We hope to see you at an event soon.